Alright, Kantians, welcome back to another episode of iKantian Podcast. Today for Shoot the Shit Sundays, I am joined by my good friend Cabe Wyatt. He is a member of a band, he is a band manager, and honestly, he's just an overall cool guy. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear our conversation talking about the in and outs of the music industry that most people don't know about. And also talking about his new band and how he got started with that. So, without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy. Bro.
Hello, welcome.
Cabe, this is, this might be your most brilliant idea you've ever spoke to me, and you've spoken many.
I've got a lot of great ideas, dude.
You are.
I mean.
you do.
I'm the Einstein of Nashville music business.
Yeah, so my listeners have never been introduced to Cabe before, although I have shouted him out for giving me the idea of Shoot the Shit
Sunday. Shoot the Shit Sunday. What up?
Hey. So, naturally, I would have to have him on a Shoot the Shit Sundays episode. Cabe is a borderline music genius. We met
I wouldn't say music genius. I'd say music business, like, protege, music business protege,
mogul, business mogul,
soon to be.
So I met Cabe back in October in Bandera, Texas at Flying L Ranch for a Vivint retreat, and we hit it off, all of us and your entire group and Morgan and everyone. You no longer work for Vivint.
Correct.
Which is sad, because you're definitely a
Not
stud.
Really.
well, nobody works for Vivint right now, technically, yeah. Because they sent us these leads. Like my boss sent me a bunch of leads and not that they're bad. It's just cold calling people versus knocking the door for me. It's, you gotta call so many people.
It's so funny that you say that, because at the beginning of this job, I was like, why the hell are we knocking on people's doors? Like, why am I knocking on a stranger's door right now? And after selling Vivint for a summer, I mean, it's a home security product. Like, it just makes so much more sense for you to be in their home, like, instead of, like, over the phone or, like, a demo at Best Buy or something, you know?
Exactly. So I've actually done both. So when we had the retail with Best Buy, I worked in Philadelphia and I worked in multiple areas around the Chicago area, teaching people how to sell it and then also selling it inside of Best Buy. And it's honestly two different worlds.
Yeah.
It does make so much more sense, because I'd sit down with a prospect at Best Buy and I would literally be like, okay, let's draw your home. Right? Like, what does it look like? Right? Okay. This would make sense for you. This wouldn't make sense for you. Yada, yada, yada. Right? When I'm at their home, I'm like, yeah, honestly, a camera right here would make the most sense. You wouldn't need two, because this one takes care of that. The doorbell takes care of that. Yada, yada, yada. Right?
Yeah.
So different. So you don't work for Vivint anymore. You are focusing on your band, Vinewood. Right?
Yeah. So I quit Vivint because, basically, the way it works is you sign up and they move you out for a summer to location X. Last year, we went to Gulfport, Mississippi, Gulfport, Biloxi area. This year, the team that I was supposed to be on, they're going to Austin, Texas, which I can't say I wouldn't have enjoyed. But due to recent circumstances, what I'm about to say is not the case, but summertime is prime for music. In all aspects. That's where people are listening. That's when you can get asses in seats at shows. The two things that I have learned about the music business so far is that there are two things that are that matter. One is being authentic, either as a manager, as an artist, as a songwriter, yada, yada. The other thing that matters is asses in seats. Nobody cares how many Instagram followers you have. It helps. Nobody cares how many Spotify streams you have. It helps. But at the end of the day, you don't make money from either of those, at least enough to support yourself. The way you make money is touring and playing shows and the live experience. And now with this whole COVID thing, I mean, everything's kind of gone digital. People are doing live streams and stuff. There's no way to make money with that. And people who have never been to a concert before don't understand it. But the live experience, like being live at a show, that's where it's at. Like that's what really moves the needle in a big way, at least from my perspective. But I mean, I know I'm not the only person that thinks that.
No, I mean, especially for a new band, right? You're trying to get your foot off the ground. You're trying to get a following. And the best way for people to hear you, I do agree, is live, because then you can feel it.
Especially with Vinewood, dude. I mean, a live Vinewood show. I don't know if I ever sent you any of those videos, Lakota, but I mean, the first show that we played, we sold out. It was 150 cap room, which is a lot. That's a lot for a band's first show ever.
That's awesome.
And it was insane. It was absolutely bonkers. People were going crazy over it. And I don't know if that's going to translate to Spotify or not, but if you can get enough people at a show and Billy tells his friend Bobby and John, then those three guys are going to come to the next show, and then that's going to expound another three for, or whatever. Like it just builds and builds and builds, but it just takes time. The reason I quit Vivint, long story short, is because summertime is when you need to grind with music. That's the time to be putting stuff out, be rolling out content, get people interested, and then sell the tickets. So.
And simultaneously, it's also the prime time for Vivint. So it doesn't make sense to try and
Correct.
do both. And right now
I
with
mean,
the whole COVID thing, dude, there's no prime time for either of us.
yeah, I mean, that's
Like,
true. I mean, right now, the only thing that we can do is sit back and record and try and get a following online, which is not terrible. Like, that's not like, if Corona were to happen at any time for Vinewood, this is the best time that it could possibly happen because we still don't have music out. Check out the song Silence this coming Friday, April 10th. Everywhere you listen to music, by the way, big plug. I'll plug it like eight times probably.
That's fine. Please do. That's what these are for. These are for to A, bullshit with good friends, and also, good friends that are doing big things. So if
Plug,
I
plug,
can,
plug.
yeah, if I can help in any capacity, that's what I'm here for. So, but right now, actually, to piggyback off of what you're saying, I obviously don't know anything about the music industry, but just thinking as a content creator, this is the time to like buckle down and like pretty much like hoard the studio time and just start pumping out content, right? Not publishing it yet, but recording. And
And that's basically
that.
what we're doing, but it's hard to do remotely. Like the
Is everyone
recording
remotely?
process, people, I mean,
Where's
people think
John
the
and
recording
everybody?
process, well, they're all, John's in Louisville, Jake is in Louisville with John right now. They're actually tracking. They did two songs today. But like we're a band. Like this is a rock band. This is not like, hey, this is a hip hop song where you can sit behind your computer for 2 hours and knock the entire thing out. Because John could do that. If John did hip hop, dude, if you give that guy a MIDI keyboard, a guitar, a bass, and a microphone in 30 minutes, I swear to God, you will have a full production demo. It just has to be mixed and mastered, and it has to be written vocally, which he usually does at the same time. But with this,
That's
I mean, it
nuts.
could take months. I mean, for us to record drums, live tracking for drums is such a tedious process. But I mean, we want to do that because it's more authentic, and that's what Vinewood is. Like, it's a live experience. So we don't really do much with MIDI.
I can speak on
Not as much
that.
as a lot of people.
I can speak on that. So one of my favorite bands, Coheed and Cambria, they huge, huge hit, huge cult following for like alternative, like mathematic rock. Not even really mathematic rock. I would just call it like alternative punk rock. And when they did their first studio release, a lot of their drums were MIDI made or on like Logic or something like that. Like they weren't live recording, and you could definitely tell like it didn't take away from their ability to tell a story, which is all Coheed and Cambria is. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I'll listen though. I'll check it out after this.
I'll send you some links, dude. They're literally, you've probably heard a couple of their songs like Welcome Home and stuff like that in movies, and you're like, oh shit, okay. Yeah, I've heard of them. But their whole thing, their whole niche is that it's based off of a comic book series that the lead vocalist wrote. So they just turn it into song form. So I can definitely speak to like you can tell the difference. And so that's awesome. Big props that you're sticking with live recording for the drums. I think I've met all of the band members of Vine
You
Wood. You
have
guys are
not. You've not met Garrett. You've not met our drummer.
okay.
Although
Okay.
you will soon after this stupid corona bullshit passes over, you'll be able to come up to Nashville and we'll be able to show you some good food
Good.
and we'll have a show.
Good. So
So.
I don't think so. I was giving big props to Cabe. I love this dude to death. Him and I clicked since the minute we met.
Let's put
And
this in perspective. So, when you go on a Vivint trip like this, sometimes you're with your team, and sometimes there's a single dude like Lakota, not single, well, you're married, but like single of a team, like the only dude from a team that comes out. And so we were in a room with three of our guys and just him. So him and I slept in the king together first night. It's pretty comfortable. He's a very good big spoon.
Actually, I think on no, all nights I slept on the pullout.
I thought you slept in the master room. Oh, that was McKay. Damn.
That was McKay.
I just made all that up.
McKay was the great
Rip.
good big spoon.
Yeah,
But
McKay's the
I
only guy that I know that's actually my size.
yeah, you guys are very tall. What are you, 6'4"? Six
I'm
five?
6'6".
You're 6'6", dude, you're
Yeah,
so
I'm
tall.
actually like half an inch taller than McKay, but
So, to put it in perspective, when Cabe and I hang out, he's almost a foot taller than me. So we look ridiculous. We're like Robin Big, except he's like super thin instead of like Big Black, who was like this big black dude, hence the name. And then Rob
yeah.
Dyrdek, who's this like short 5'7", 5'8" skateboarder. Like Cabe and I like are very reminiscent of that.
Then John is Chanel West Coast.
Exactly. So, but we definitely hit it off. So I knew I wanted to have I'd started recording the second time we met up in Salt Lake City. I'd recorded I think my first or second podcast episode. And oh, that's COVID. You're about to die, bro.
That actually wasn't even on the mic. I turned down my gain for that. I should have warned you.
Oh, okay. No worries.
Yeah, I just coughed up. For everybody listening, I just coughed up a lung. But.
And he's definitely a genius when it comes to recording. So actually let's talk about that. So I love Anchor, I love Spotify. Thank you guys so much for having an awesome platform for podcasters like myself who don't have a big following.
I'll say this.
But
I don't know anything about Anchor, but Spotify, you guys need to pay songwriters more. If you're listening right here, screw you guys. He can say what he wants. He can kiss your ass, but you guys need to pay more than 0.00006 of a cent, please, per stream. That's such crap. But
That's the per stream, or what's your CPM though? What's
bro, it's
per thousand?
awful.
What's what
Per
per?
thousand, I think it's 35 cents, literally. I know per million you get $3,500 about. Most of that money
Okay.
goes to record labels. So
Okay, I
right
don't
now in
even.
the music industry, the only people that are not going to go bankrupt is record labels, because everybody's still streaming, but record labels are making a killing right now from Spotify and Apple Music.
Well, that's how people like P. Diddy and stuff like that. He's almost a billionaire. Jay-Z became the actual first hip hop billionaire because Jay-Z, or not Jay-Z, Dre, Dr. Dre had become a billionaire, but he was just a producer. He was a hip hop producer. He hadn't rapped in a long time.
He was also a songwriter, though. When you say producer in hip
That's
hop,
true. That's true. That's
producer in
very
hip
true.
hop and producer in country are two completely different things. A producer
Very,
in
very
hip
true.
hop gets songwriting credits, like they own their publishing.
Very, very true.
So,
Very, very true. But he wasn't rapping.
yeah,
So I would
actually,
call him more of like a producer, record label owner,
yeah.
and stuff like that. And he became a billionaire off the selling of his headphones. But Jay-Z was next, and then P. Diddy is about to be there too. And it's all because these guys have record labels and other ventures for sure, but like the record labels make them so much money. Eminem's another one of those dudes who makes a ton of money. He's worth like 600 plus million dollars. It's crazy. Anyways, we were trying to figure out a solution to our recording problem. So right now, because everyone's quarantined, I can only assume that everyone's using their data, using the Wi-Fi, calling, stuff like that. So on Anchor, when you're recording remotely, it's voice over internet. And they had just updated their code to include multiple remote recordings. Well, I don't know what happened after that, but it would stop recording after 5 minutes. And we literally could not figure out anything. So Cabe came up with the idea that we would just talk individually through a microphone and just
So
record
right now
it.
he's in GarageBand, I'm in GarageBand, and we're on the phone, and my phone is connected to my headphones. So we have like we're two completely separate audio files. But once we're done, either I'm gonna send him mine or he's gonna send me his, and I'm just gonna overlap them, and it's just gonna be a conversation.
So, brilliant. It was all Cabe's idea.
This is
And
how the magic happens, boys and girls.
bro,
Luckily.
patent pending. We're gonna run the remote streaming because right now there's no market. There's a market for it, but there's no correct solution. And the Anchor was trying to do that, and
Anchor's got the
it's
right idea. They definitely
they
are on the
do.
right track. That's just,
They
dude, that,
do.
I mean, crap like that. I mean, there's so much technology and stuff, like coding and da da da, like all this stuff that goes into that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and
So.
they've also cut down a lot of their stuff is done remotely. Like they're based in I think San Francisco, and Spotify owns them. So that's why if you're wondering why I keep shouting out Spotify, that's why. They're the ones that technically pay me.
Anchor would be
But
a solid investment for Spotify to make. I bet they will end up profiting billions from that company.
without
Seriously.
a doubt, without a doubt. So hopefully this sounds well. The dry takes that we've done
They
sounded pretty
sound
good.
great. Yeah, they
Good.
actually sound great. Definitely
Good.
better than over the phone voice over the internet thing.
Yeah, that I could only imagine because this is a direct wave file to direct wave file.
Yeah.
So I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Are hot dogs sandwiches?
No.
State
Wait.
your argument.
Yeah, I guess they are.
Right? Because isn't a sandwich any item, right, that has whatever material, right? Whether it's meat, vegetables, whatever it is, stuck
Peanut butter,
between,
jelly.
stuck between two surfaces. That's what a hot dog is too.
Well, then I guess you could call my ass a sandwich too, if it's just anything stuck between two surfaces.
It is. That is a sweaty, hairy sandwich. Ass sandwich. So,
Yikes.
I've always wondered that, and I don't think I've ever had any kind of like discourse with anyone on the topic, where I'm
I mean,
like,
I'm not
if
gonna
there's
argue with it because I don't. I'm not a hot dog guy. They kind of gross me out. So,
really, are you
I
a
couldn't
burger guy?
even.
You're a burger guy. We had
Oh,
burgers together.
definitely burger guy. Huge burger guy.
So if I'm in Nashville, where do I get a burger?
Jack Brown's.
Jack
Okay,
Brown's.
look.
Okay.
I'm about to tell you this. Hold on.
Okay. I'm listening.
What are you doing? My dog was chewing on something.
That's okay. My big ferret Klaus is literally staring me through the cage. Like, bro, are you gonna let me out? He's
That's
like
hilarious.
staring me down, looking through my soul.
That's funny. So you go to Jack Brown's, right? Actually,
Okay.
I drove by it yesterday. It kind of got destroyed by the tornado. That's a story for another time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode for sure.
So, bottom bun, right? Mayonnaise, patty, cheese, bacon, peanut butter.
You
Let me say
there?
again, peanut butter.
Okay.
Okay? It is sex in your mouth, bro. I'm telling you, people always give me shit for it. People are always like, "What are you talking about? How is that any good?" And then they try it and they're hooked. It's so freaking good, dude.
What was the sandwich again? You kind of cut out a little bit. What was the sandwich?
So, bun,
Bun,
mayonnaise,
mayonnaise,
patty,
patty.
cheese, bacon, peanut butter, top bun.
Shut up. That's a lot of protein.
Dude, it's amazing.
That's some stoner food.
Well, I don't smoke, but
I don't either, but that's definitely
it
some
definitely
stoner
is some
food.
stoner food. It definitely is some stoner
That
food.
is hilarious. How do, so let me ask you this. Is that something that they offer on the menu, or did you come up with
No,
that?
yeah, they offered up. It's called the Elvis. It's like
Oh,
they've got a
so
bunch of crazy burgers. Like there's one called the Greg Brady. It's like four types of macaroni and cheese, barbecue chips, and a patty. And then there's
Wow.
like, it's they for real, they have such good burgers, bro.
It's called Jack Brown's.
Jack Brown's. It's a chain, actually. It's not like a chain. Like, they're not in every city, but they've got like 10 of them, I think.
Well, there's a burger joint that's in Texas. Not Whataburger. Whataburger's delicious, but it's called Twisted Roots.
Never heard
And
of it.
okay, so you gotta check them out.
Have you had Brahms?
Yeah, I love Brahms. I
Dude, that
absolutely
place is
love
good
Brahms.
too. That place is
Yep.
amazing.
So Brahms is very reminiscent of Whataburger. I think it's a better version of Whataburger, in my
I
opinion.
agree. I agree. I low key think Whataburger is a little bit overrated.
In a sense, I have one right down the road, and I'm absolutely in love with it. But so Twisted Roots is another franchise, but it's instead of like a fast food joint, it's more of like a sit down burger joint, and they have like exotic meats, like alligator meat, kangaroo meat.
What? Have you
Yeah,
ever
they
had an
have.
alligator?
I've not. No.
Dude, I had crocodile in Africa one time.
That's nuts.
It's like tough chicken. It was amazing. It was so good.
I bet that does sound good, actually. That does sound good. But
They've got some.
they have like really high-end meats like Wagyu beef and stuff like that, and
That's
it's
super dope. So that's what Jack Brown's is like. Their burger meat is Wagyu.
okay. Yeah, so that's my favorite kind of beef. It's really fatty. Has a nice little marble in it.
It's thick.
It's not everyone's cup of tea. But there's a
Definitely
reason why.
mine.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's super premium. But a lot
Yeah.
of people don't like the fat content in it. Whereas for me, I personally don't mind at all. I think it personally brings out the flavor
Yeah.
more. Anyway, so Vinewood, you have a new single coming out April 10th.
Yeah. So I'm actually I just started working with another artist.
Okay, tell me about it.
Actually out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Hold on. Time out really quick. Coors Banquet. Brewed in the Rockies. I had to throw it in somewhere.
I can throw it in there too. I
So
can literally send you that. That's so funny.
he's a country artist, based out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Where we were talking about. Did we talk about that on this run through of this episode or one of the eight other times?
We have not talked about it on this one.
Okay, so Lafayette's in Louisiana. It's like 2 hours out of Baton Rouge. No, it's probably an hour 15 out of Baton Rouge.
Or maybe we did.
I can't
Vivint.
remember.
I don't know. I
Yeah.
don't remember
It's
either.
in Louisiana. It's like central Louisiana. So every year, I always go down to an LSU football game. I'm a diehard LSU fan. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana. Diehard LSU fan. It's like always have been. So I go down every year for at least one game. In my freshman year of college, so fall 18, I went down for the Ole Miss game and stayed with one of my buddies. And his roommate was Joe's bass player. So I befriended the bass player because like we're both in music and stuff. And me and him became friends, and then he introduced me to Joe. And Joe and I became friends, and we've talked for probably a year just about random bullshit in the music business. And then just recently, like 2 months ago, I was just talking to him about some random stuff. And I was like, look, I was like, Joe, you've got a good voice. Like, you kind of know what you want to do in life. He's got over a million streams on Spotify. Somehow he got playlisted. I
Really?
was actually, yeah, I was actually just looking at his numbers. He's got like 22,000 monthly listeners. And
Wow.
to put that in perspective, I know a guy who lives here. I'm not going to mention his name, but I know a guy who goes to MTSU who just sold out the Georgia Theater. I don't know how many people that is, but it's a very well-known venue. He just sold that out and he only has 4,000 monthly listeners. So Joe has a significant following, which is very good. And so he's about to put out music too, hopefully by the end of May. He was supposed to come, he's supposed to be here right now, actually, but Mississippi has shut down their borders, their state
Yeah,
lines. So he couldn't come up here and cut the song yet.
everything's shut down. To answer your
Yeah.
question, it has about 1,000 person capacity.
What, Georgia Theater? Yeah. So, I mean, That's a large venue. Like if you can sell out 1,000 cap rooms, I mean you're doing pretty good. You're profiting about 10 grand a show.
Oh yeah, for
So
sure.
I mean you're making good money. Touring's where the money is, but just I mean Joe has a he's got a good voice. He knows what he wants to say too. There's a difference in music between having a good voice and having something to say. And to an extent, not having something to say and not being authentic can work, but in country music specifically, people sniff out the bullshit very well. Actually, country music fans are very good at sniffing out the bullshit. So I believe in Joe.
I think any music fan is, because I'm a hip hop head, so I have an eclectic taste for music, but my first love, first and foremost, is hip hop rap, and rap started as a lyrical thing. It was, let me tell you a story, and let me let it rhyme to an extent, and I'm gonna dub a beat over it and just record my vocals, right?
So
That's the
my
essence
point,
of rap and hip hop, right? Versus what's going on today, where it's more for clubs, right? Like, let me come out with a banger where people can like be ratchets to
it's very
in the
beat,
club.
it's very beat
Yeah,
oriented. It's not about the
exactly.
lyricism and the story, and
Nope.
that's fine. Like I have zero problem with that. Like I mean, Migos, for example, like what the absolute hell are they talking about in any of their songs? You don't know. And sometimes they have a storyline, but they sound like it sounds
If you go
dope.
back to
Like you can
their
get down to it.
if you go back to their earlier timelines, their like RN timeline and stuff like that, those earlier mixtapes had much more lyricism involved compared to what they have now, which is definitely more beat oriented. Now, I'm not saying that one or the other is better. I'm saying the essence of hip hop and rap began with lyricism first. And so I would dub that, and I think many hip hop heads would dub that more of like, this is the origins of hip hop, and this is where still the greats come from. Like
Yeah, I mean that's
Jeezy,
the same thing as
Jay-Z,
like
Eminem, those
that's the
guys.
same thing as country music. Like I mean
Yeah.
people are like, "Oh, well, that's not real country. Like Garth is real country." But in 1990, whenever Garth moved to Nashville, people were like, "Dude, you're not country, you're rock. Like get the hell out of Nashville." And who do we look at
Right.
now as the country artist? Garth. Same with
Yeah.
George Strait. Like same with all these super classic, like even Johnny Cash. Like Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley are the only two people that I know of. I think they're the only two people that are both inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But if you look back then, Johnny Cash was not considered country, and neither
No,
was
no.
Elvis. Elvis was definitely more rock and roll than Johnny Cash was, but people hated him for it. But
Yep.
now, like Johnny's quintessential country. Like you can't talk about country music without talking about Johnny Cash. You
True.
know, so it's all about perspective, but basically Joe's authentic. People sniff out the bullshit, and I believe in his music, and he's got a good sound. So
So where can we find his music? You said, what's his name? Joe what?
his name's Joe Bryson, Bryson. He's on everything, Spotify, Apple, yada yada. I think he's got five songs out right now. His latest one's called Already Love You. And it's a banger. I like that one a lot. But the one that has the most streams is called She Don't Really Miss Me. It's got like 1 point, I think it has 1.12 mil right now. And it's going up by thousands daily, which is just insane to me.
Who made the
So
cover
he's
art
got
for this song that came out last year?
Already Love You. I'm not sure. I don't know. But
I really like it.
he's got seven people right now listening. And in the past 7 days, in the past week, he's got 7.4 thousand listeners. He's
That's
sitting at about
nuts.
1,200, 1,300 a day, which is really good. Like that's super
So
good for somebody that's unsigned and doesn't have any music business experience.
you're managing him.
I mean, as of now, like I would call myself the manager, but basically I'm just like Joe's advocate, I guess.
Okay.
Like
So there's nothing legally binding or anything like that. You're just
no, I mean,
you saw an artist that like, man, you're great. You sound great. We have a connection.
yeah.
We have a history. I know a little bit about this stuff. Let me help you out.
Yeah. So, I
It's
mean,
awesome.
I didn't plan on getting into artist management. I'm technically a songwriting major, and now I have a focus in artist management because of some courses that I'm taking.
Good. You should be there. You're too smart to just be a songwriter, and don't take offense to that.
Like, I don't take offense to that, but being a songwriter, bro, people, I'll go off on that tangent in a second. Let me get to what I was trying to get at. So okay, my artist management professor this semester, his name is Daniel Miller. Very well-known guy in Nashville. He manages Riley Green, Martina McBride, Cassidy Pope, the guy that just won American Idol, Lane Hardy. He's very well-known. He managed Lady A for like 11 years. He's a kick-ass dude. And one of the first things that he told us is that he doesn't sign. He doesn't sign people to management deals because he doesn't want to, like if they're not vibing, he doesn't want to force them into staying with him for another year if that's how long the deal was. So basically he literally just has verbal agreements, and that's basically what I'm going to run with. Cause I believe in that. Like if I don't think it will ever get to that point, but if Vinewood and I stop working well together, I mean, I don't want to screw those guys over. Like, I'm not going to be the one to say, oh yeah, like I'm still your manager. Like you have a year left on your contract. Like you still owe me money, yada, yada, this, that, and the other. Cause I just think that's crappy. And I would have never thought about it that way before Daniel. But I think that's a good practice to have, and it keeps it authentic too. When I talk about authenticity, like if you don't have a contract, a legally binding contract, then that means that you guys trust each other. Like you can trust in each other to get the job done when need be. So, I haven't signed him, but I would say that I am his manager. I mean, I'm sure he would say the same thing or something close to.
That's awesome. I mean, and I think those relationships are much more valuable than like, hey, sign on the dotted line and I'll do this for you. It's like, okay, like, hold up. Like, who are you? Right. Or, okay, well, what happens if this? Yeah. And you guys had a friendship before, right?
Yeah. I mean, I technically still have never met Joe in person, but I mean, I feel like I've known him for 5 years. Like we just communicate all the time. And it's funny how technology can work like that. Like he literally is moving up here to transfer to my school. Not because I was like, hey Joe, you need to transfer up here. But we were just talking about it. And he was like, look, like I've wanted to move to Nashville for a long time. Like I've got to take the leap. So he just decided to do that. But yeah, I mean, when it's authentic, it's authentic. And there is a time in a music, like an artist's career, to where they do need to sign the dotted line. But Vinewood is not in a place to sign the dotted line with anyone. They don't even have music out, you know?
Right. Well, April 10th, if you will.
April 10th. My point being, like, once people hear this, they'll probably hear this for years to come. Like, yes, we have music out now. But as of right now, like, Vinewood is nothing.
Yeah.
And that sounds shitty for me to say, but it's true. Like we have 500 followers on Instagram. We don't have any music out. So they need somebody to vouch for them. Not that they couldn't do it on their own, because people do it on their own. Ha ha ha. But people do it on their own and they can make it. But Chance the Rapper didn't go unsigned to a label for 3 years. He still hasn't signed, but it didn't like... He didn't do that all of that by himself. Like he has a management team.
Like he has a whole there. Team.
He has an entire team behind him. He just doesn't have the label. He is his label. And that's well, I think that's like, what Vinewood's going to end up doing. But you like
well, you should or do what like not to interrupt you, right? But like I don't know if you listen to Ludacris. Yeah. I love Ludacris. I still will pop in some of his old tracks, but Ludacris literally has a song that details how to be a successful hip hop artist.
Yeah.
And the first fucking thing you do is you create an LLC, you create your recording label and you sign yourself to it. And then you cut your own checks, right? That's not only for tax purposes, but then also for ownership rights. And for legitimacy. Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm Ludacris. Who are you signed to? I'm signed to ABC Entertainment. Oh, who is that? It's this new up-and-coming record label. You don't even have to say you're attached to that.
So that's people, the mistake that young artists make is record label X will come to them and say, hey, here's a record label. We'll give you a $35,000 advance, but we're going to own. They don't tell you
everything.
They're going to own 75% of your masters. 75% of your masters, bro. Oh my God. Like people sell their souls to get a record label. And in reality, they could probably do it on their own with a good management team behind them. It might take 2 extra years, but 10 years down the road, you are not going to be sad that you did waited the extra 2 years to hit it big. Does that make sense?
Well, and actually, I want to use a there's a rap group called Griselda, and they're from Griselda Records from Buffalo, New York. And they're like that itty gritty boom bap kind of hardcore rap where, it's not like Migos or anything like that. It's more reminiscent of like Jay-Z's old stuff, Method Man, Wu-Tang Clan, stuff like that, but just grimy.
Yeah.
And, the two guys, there's three of them, but the two main guys is Benny the Butcher and Conway the Machine, both of which were signed by Shady Records by Eminem for distribution rights. So
distribution rights—that's that's different.
Very, very different.
Just for people out there, if you sign a distribution deal, basically what you're saying is, "Hey, I'll give you X percentage of the performing rights to this." Basically, like if the song gets put on the radio or streams or this, that, and the other, I'll give you 15, 20, 25% of just what you're helping me distribute. When you sign to a record label and they take a portion of your masters, that means for lifetime. So with this whole Taylor Swift, Scooter Braun deal, I don't know if anybody on here knows about that, but that was a huge thing that we talked about.
I've heard of it.
Classes.
Big deal, big lawsuit.
Basically what Taylor did is she said, yeah, Scooter, you can buy my masters here. And she sold them to him. And now she realizes, oh shit, that was really, really dumb of me. I should not have sold my masters because now they're worth like $500 million. And that's all Scooter's money because he owns them. So Scooter there is Braun, no lawsuit. Scooter's a genius.
Scooter, if anybody doesn't know who Scooter Braun is, he manages people like Taylor Swift.
He doesn't manage Taylor anymore.
Not anymore, but he owns her masters. Justin Bieber, he still has, right?
Ariana Grande, Dan and Shay. He had Asher Roth. Like, I mean, he is a...
Rest in peace.
Mogul. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Asher Roth. I love college too, bro, but he could have come up with something a little bit more. I don't know. Anyways, most people don't know who that guy is.
I just knew that because we literally just watched a documentary on him.
Scooter Braun's a genius. If you're looking at being a talent manager or anything like that,
Demi,
look up Scooter Braun, look at his accolades, look at what he's been able to accomplish in just a short amount of time. He's been in the industry, I would say about what, 15 years?
15 years, yeah. So he started off as like a booker, basically.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. And he just worked his ass off. The other thing in the music industry, like whatever you're trying to do, whether you're trying to be an artist, whether you're trying to be a manager, whether you're trying to be an agent, if you work your ass off for long enough, people will take notice. Songwriters. Mm-hmm. There were songwriters in Nashville who did not have cuts. A cut is basically like, oh, me and Lakota go in and we write this song and we pitch it to artist X. Dirk Bentley cuts the song. It might not make the record, but he recorded it. Artists, like songwriters who didn't have a cut for 10 years and now they're just the biggest shit that you could ever see. Shane McAnally is one of the biggest songwriters in Nashville, and he did not have a cut for like 14 years. And he has 27 number ones now. And that's all happened since 2010. It's been 10 years since he's like kind of hit it, but.
That's nuts. Do you know who Muscadine Bloodline is?
Muscadine, yeah.
Muscadine.
It's Muscadine. Like, Odie, you got to know you're from the South. Hey, you're from up there in Alaska, man. It's Muscadine. Muscadine jelly, that's a shit.
Bro, and I still, like, I live in the South, right? Like, pretty much as South as it gets. And I still, because I live in Laredo.
You don't live in the South, though. Texas is a little different. Texas is low-key, like, its own thing, though.
But it's the South. Like, if you told a Texan they're not a Southerner, they'd be like, who the fuck are you?
No, I'm not saying they're not a Southerner. I'm saying there's a difference. Like, huge Southerners difference. Are not like white trash rednecks. They're like, hey, we're going to put on our belt buckles and our 10-gallon hats.
Very, very true. It's cowboy Southern. Yeah. And where I'm at here in Laredo, and most of my listeners know this, unless you're new, I live now in Laredo, Texas. I don't live in Alaska anymore. But here in Laredo, it's Hispanic. Like, it's 99% of the demographic is Hispanic. And of course, 98% of that is Mexican because we live on the Mexican border. And so the culture here has nothing to do with like a stereotypical Texan culture that you would think of, right? Like that. Well, not. I can't say that necessarily because ranching is very big here and like rodeos and stuff like that. So I can't necessarily say that that Southern cowboy culture isn't here, but it's definitely overrun by a Mexican culture, which is fine. But it's hard to like get that draw.
Yeah.
Because nobody speaks it. Like, nobody speaks it here.
Okay.
If anything, really I'm going to have. Go ahead.
No, what were you saying? You were
finished. Oh, I was saying if anything, I'm gonna have a Hispanic accent. Like I'm gonna have a Mexican accent by the time I'm finished with my stint here in Laredo. Yeah, so
that's hilarious. So back to Scooter really quick. Bro, I did not even realize how many people he actually manages.
Do you have a list?
Yeah. So Ariana Grande, Asher Roth, Carly Rae Jepsen, call me maybe, Demi Lovato, David Guetta, Dan and Shay, Hilary Duff, Idina Menzel.
I love Dan and Shay.
Jay Balvin. Just want
to put that on the record.
I do too, bro. I went and saw them at the beginning of March. They were unfreaking real. They were
unreal. That's awesome.
They're so good, awesome. Dude. Those are some guys that like when you talk about the grind of the music business, they would. So the way Nashville works, for those who don't know, when a country artist, say Lakota, name me a country artist, like a big one.
A big one? Yeah. Shit, dude. I don't know. I'm not a big country guy, so Tim McGraw.
We'll go with Luke. Well, okay, Tim McGraw. That's actually a great one.
Yeah.
So when Tim McGraw goes on tour, generally what they'll do is they'll say, hey, we're going to take off from Kroger in Cool Springs. Cool Springs is a really nice part of Nashville. It's metro, but we're going to take off from Kroger at Cool Springs at midnight on Wednesday night. We're going to play a show Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. We'll be back Sunday morning. Sometimes they'll play a show Sunday as well, and they'll get back Monday morning. So their tours are only, like, they just go on super short stints, and then they're home for 2 or 3 days, sometimes even 4 if they don't have a show on Thursday night. So what Dan and Shay did, like, they would be on tour with Rascal Flatts for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they would play shows. They would play shows of their own. So that, like, that's how they built their fan base, like a loyal, loyal fan base. When you see their shit online of everybody in the place singing Tequila back to them, that's how they did that. They would tour an unnecessary amount. Not unnecessary, but an ungodly amount. Like, they truly, those dudes grinded for what they've got now. So shout out to Dan and Shay. They're really amazing. If you guys don't know who they are, they're country, but they're pop country. They are unfreaking real, man. Such
bro. Good. Just to, we're gonna have to finish this off soon, but just to go over some of the past and present clients too. Little Dicky, which has a new show on Hulu, on Fox. Yeah,
that's a great show.
That's a really, really good show. It's called Dave. That's his actual name. And he's a phenomenal lyricist as well.
He's a phenomenal actor. That show is actually amazing.
It's very good. I have a friend that he definitely resembles, like, looks and sounds just like him. He had signed Psy at some point.
Yeah, he's still got him. All these that you're seeing, are you on the website where it says Scooter Braun Projects?
Kanye West. These are all actives.
Yeah, he's got Kanye. Yeah. He's got Justin Bieber.
That's nuts. Tori Kelly, House. Usher, YG.
Let me just say, Tori Kelly, I would marry her.
You guys would be a great couple.
Yeah, curly hair.
Yeah, that's my wife. I'm definitely in the same boat.
Usher, YG, Watt, the Wanted. Do you know who Watt is, Lakota?
No, never heard of them.
So he is. He's like a producer. He's an artist. He's a multi-instrumentalist artist. But he started off as like a songwriter producer.
Okay.
He did virtually all of Post's Beer Bongs and Bentleys with him.
Really? Watt White? Is that his name?
Watt. W-A-T-T. My name without the Y. Watt.
Right.
But he's amazing. He's super, super good. But Yeah, basically, Scooter is an unreal mogul in the music industry. Screw Taylor Swift for trying to make him look like an idiot because she's the idiot that signed the contract. So.
Yeah, big ups to that. Anyways, Cabe, I know my headphones are about to die, so that's gonna kind of put a dent in our conversation as far
Dude,
as
we
recording.
could literally go on for days.
And that's why this definitely will not be the first, or definitely won't be the only time Cabe is on this podcast. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if eventually him and I branch off and do our own little podcast together,
I
because
would be so
we've
down.
bro, you and I vibe so well. It doesn't matter if it's dumb.
Yeah, I mean,
It's
I would love that.
I'm so down. Anything you wanna add? Anything else you wanna plug?
Vinewood, Friday, April 10th. Please go download, stream. If you don't like it, that's fine. Silent stream it. Turn the volume on your laptop down and stream it as much as possible as soon as you hear this. That's how you get into Spotify algorithms, is building a little bit of a following and having hella streams from the get-go. Also, Joe Bryson, check him out. He's country. He's pop country, I'd say. He's a little Morgan Wallen vibe. I don't know if you're a fan of that, Lakota, but he's good as hell
I
too.
don't know
So
who that
expect.
is.
You don't know who Morgan Wallen is?
I'll have to,
Oh
dude, I'm
shit.
not
We're
in the
staying
big
on. No,
country
we're
scene.
staying. We're staying on the phone after this. I'm gonna enlighten you. It's dope. He's so good.
We will. Let's do
But
it.
yeah, check out Joe Bryson, all the stuff that he's got out, and expect new music from him by like the end of May.
All right, perfect. Well, hey man, I'm gonna stay on the phone with you, but we'll go ahead and pause this, and
Okay.
I appreciate you being on the
What's your
podcast
what
too.
does your timer say?
My timer says, let's see, pulled up
46?
46 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I'm at too. Okay,
All
thank you guys. I can't even believe that I did this.
right. I love it, dude. That's awesome. Okay,
All
I'm
right, bye
pausing
guys.
now.
Oh, follow me on Gram.
There we go. Shout out your gram.
Yeah, at Cabe Wyatt, CAB as in boy, CABE Wyatt, WYATT. Shout me out.
Boom, and I'll have a link in the description so you can check out Vinewood, you can check out Cabe and Bryson and all those guys.
Yep.
Awesome. Appreciate it, dude.
All right, see you guys.
Right, Conteans, that's the end of the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please like and subscribe and comment what you like the most about the episode. You can find Cabe Wyatt on Instagram. Link is going to be down in the description. Remember, Vinewood's new single, Silence, comes out April 10th. Set a reminder on your calendars. My wife and I heard it last night. It's an absolute banger. Remember, too, that for your CBD needs, you can check out Philosopher's Apothecary. We have high-quality CBD oil and soaps for low prices. And right now, it's free shipping for all orders in the United States. Link to philosapothecary.com is also going to be in the description. Last but certainly not least, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at IconTeven. I hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend, and I will chat with y'all on Wednesday. Peace.